Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass.
Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, church. Let us pray one more time. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be a part of the family of God here on earth, but especially of the family of God in heaven. Remind us, Lord, that we belong to the church of the firstborn above. We belong to you, Jesus. We belong to your church. And as we sit in this waiting congregation today, we ask that your Holy Spirit himself will take over our minds and hearts, take over teaching and speaking, and may each of us be blessed in Christ. May we grow in you, even in the time we spent now, under the divine inspiration of your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Behold, thy King cometh. I want to start by reminding everyone today that God alone knows the future. God owns the future. Nearly 500 years before a certain event took place, God declared that event, and it is as relevant today as when it was first given. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, and we see that's two books back from Matthew, second to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. The word of God says, New King James Version, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. King James Version, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, King James Version, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Behold, thy king cometh. This is the reason to rejoice. This is the reason to shout. And I want to say to this congregation today, Lift up your heads and look up, because your king is coming soon. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now I want you to know that no one in this world, however rich or poor, is living any real quality of life unless he or she is living in preparation to behold the coming king. Yes and amen. When Jesus Christ returns, will you be able to meet him in peace? That is the question that is worth answering by each one of us. There is only one way to have the assurance of salvation, and this is it. You must be in the active covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. This is your most urgent and important responsibility. You know, the Bible says, Behold, thy king cometh. This is God's call to prepare to meet your God. Christ alone gives the real meaning to life. We live in a dangerously sinful and selfish world. Nobody wants to trust God anymore. Have you noticed that? Rather, I hear a pressing call today out there, and it says, trust the signs. And don't try to gauge me this way or that in that certain debate. I'm just telling you that the slogan out there is, trust the signs. I would much prefer to trust God. One notable person said regarding taming the virus, quote, the number is down because we brought the number down. That said person felt the need to not only take the praises to himself, but to take a poke at God and religion. Quote, God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. That prideful person did fall from grace and is no longer the governor of the state of New York. When man shake his fist in the face of God, it's just a matter of time. If any of you is still clinging to pride, I'm urging you today to let it go. Pride will destroy you. It was pride that brought Lucifer down to be the devil. It was pride that brought Judas to the point of suicide. It was pride that brought King Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass and dwell with animals for 7 years. Anything that has to do with pride will undo us in God's investigative judgment. My call today is to give up pride. Amen. Now in 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 through to 17, John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. End of quote. Do you want to exist or to abide forever? Then my admonition is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Please God now. Do God's will. This includes a serious prayer life, regularly opening the Bible for yourself and sharing Christ with others. Now, our own prophet bore a testimony on behalf of Jesus Christ, saying in letter 40, written in 1901, quote, there is need of deeper piety and greater earnestness. The words given me by the Lord are, you have lost the spirit of earnest prayer. The Lord inquires, where is the vivifying influence of your prayers? Tame, lifeless, heartless prayers are not accepted with him. The voice of prayer should rise to God from hearts burdened with a sense of a defective Christian experience. What do you say? I say yes and amen. You know, in my entire life, Sharon, I've watched a game of American football maybe 4 times in my entire life. I know this will shock some of you. Growing up, the only football I know is the one we call soccer. That's the football I know. But I remember I was traveling across country to go to Andrews University, the seminary. And while we stopped in one of the hotel rooms, there was some big game on at the time. So that was my first time watching. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch. Because I said, man, after all, I'm in America. I need to learn a little bit of the game, you know. So I watched a little bit. And then since I've been at Vestal Church, there's a certain home I won't mention. You know, where we go, whenever there's a Super Bowl, we've gone there to watch the football game. And of course, you will know then that I have no team. So the host is for a certain team. So you know which team I pick? The opposing team of the host. And it makes it fun, you know? It makes it fun. We have a lot of fun inside there. Now, any of you here have a football team? You don't cheer? Well, we have a couple of guys here who are brave enough to say it in church that they have a football team that they cheer, you know? Yeah, we don't know if it's a Buffalo Bills or the Steelers or who it is. But the point is, when people watch their favorite sport team, they get real excited. They get real animated. You want to see me animated? Come out and watch me on that soccer field. Man, I tell you, I have passion. Yes, I do. We get passionate about these things that pass away. Football and soccer and all of these. The point is, we should be far more excited about spiritual things. Amen? We should be far more passionate about our prayer life. We should be far more passionate about Bible studies. We should be far more passionate about sharing our faith with others. Amen? Yes. If we can get excited about a ball with air in it that people make billions throwing around, huh? We should get passionate about people being saved for all eternity. Amen. And I tell you, you want to see me light up? Bring someone for me to share Jesus with them. And I tell you, my eyes, they get real bright. I like to talk about Jesus. I like to share my faith. I like to teach Adventism because it is the faith that makes the most sense in this current age. That's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. It makes absolute sense. I was not raised Adventist. I was raised in the Sunday tradition. But as I opened that Bible, truth became clear. Amen. And that's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist today. You know, the Lord desires you to grow in your prayer life, to improve in your exercise of searching the scriptures and in your mandate, your heavenly mandate, to share your faith with others. Now we see them trying to mandate the vaccine. And that's fine. They can do what they want. But I hope each of us follow the mandate to share our faith. That's the bigger mandate. Amen. Go ye therefore into all the world and, you know, teaching them all things that I have observed you, and make disciples of men and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit and of the Son. That's the mandate we ought to follow. That's the mandate I get excited about. God's mandate. Amen. When man gives mandate, I kind of wondering what's going on, you know. But when God gives a mandate, I get excited. Because I know it's for our good and the good of all human beings around us. Amen. Let's go all the way with Jesus. So here in letter 40, 1901, our prophet writes, God does not accept the long prayers which are as destitute of his Holy Spirit as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of dew and rain. He calls for repentance, else he will remove the candlestick out of his place. The Lord desires the candle to burn brightly, sending forth light to all parts of the world. When the church turns fully to the Lord, lifeless, spiritless prayers will no more be heard. When the church turns fully to the Lord, lifeless, spiritless prayers will no more be heard. End of quote. I desire to have the dew and the rain of the Holy Spirit upon my soul. How about you? Amen. Amen. You know, let's go back to that scripture reading. That was nicely read for us in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through to 5. That's the portion we're focusing at this time. Matthew chapter 21. It says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled. I'm going to tell you a secret for these tricksters on TV. They tell people, oh, there's a prophecy fulfilled. As a student of scripture, your first response should be, what prophecy? Your second question should be, or request should be, show me the reference of that prophecy. And remember, we don't preach politics. So when I make a point, I'm just making a point. In recent history, Jerusalem was declared the new capital of Israel. And I see everybody get excited, including some Seventh-day Adventists. Prophecy is fulfilled. And I'm saying, what prophecy? What prophecy said Jerusalem was going to be the capital of Israel? Show me the Bible reference. If prophecy is fulfilled, the prophecy must be a Bible reference. It can't be some guy somewhere in some corner saying prophecy is fulfilled. What? What prophecy? Give me the reference. And then I'll celebrate with you. But there's not a reference for that. Amen? But here is a prophecy. Jesus himself says, well, John or Matthew writes with the experience of Jesus in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, and the reference is given in verse 5, which is Zechariah 9 verse 9 was quoted. Tell the daughter of Zion, tell my church in Elmira, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. What does the coming of Jesus mean to you? I am sounding the alarm today. Now is the only time we have to prepare to meet our God. Now is the only time we have to confess and forsake our sins. Now is the only time we have to behold Christ until we perfectly reflect his character. Behold, thy king is coming. On another end time note, I see people dying at an unprecedented rate. Could it be that the time of Christ's second advent is much nearer than when we first believe? Could it be that the time of trouble, such as never was, is about to unleash its fury upon Christ's righteous, loyal remnant people? Are we seeing a broader fulfillment of Job 14 verse 13? Quote, oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Here Job is asking God to let him sleep the sleep we call death. Job also is here asking God to have a set time to resurrect him. Oh, what faith. A similar note may be found in Isaiah 26 verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. In Counsels on Health, page 375, our prophetess says, many will be laid away to sleep before the fiery ordeal of the time of trouble shall come upon our world. She says further in Second Selected Messages, page 259, the Lord has instructed me that many little ones are to be laid away before the time of trouble. The time of trouble is coming. You know, there's a little compilation called Country Living. And have you seen that little one before? Real small. Let me see, hand, if you've seen that one. Very good. I see a few witnesses. It's a real small pamphlet from the writings of Ellen White, where she specifically speaks of some of the things that will usher in or lead to the time of trouble. And as I look around me, I'm seeing more and more of these things coming together. I'll give you, this is almost verbatim, I'm going to say these words to you. She says that in the end, giant conglomerations will be formed. And all the profits from certain lines of business will be controlled by a few men. Are you seeing that happening today? Malls are closing everywhere across North America, except in extremely wealthy areas. Small businesses are folding in. One such giant conglomeration, and most of us here buy from them, or through them, Amazon. Businesses are folding. I mean, why should I pay $90 for a pair of shoes if I can get it for 30, the same shoes? Facebook borrowed WhatsApp and eating up all the technologies. Technological giant. Giant conglomerations will be formed, and all the profits from certain lines of business will be controlled by a few. We're seeing more and more of that. We're also told in that little book that labor unions are one of the groups that will bring about a time of trouble such as never was. And we're actually told that if you don't join these labor unions, you will be marked men. In the last year and a half, with this coronavirus that hit the world, I really hope Seventh-day Adventists have taken serious notes. Because we see how the thing can play out overnight. You go to sleep and you wake up tomorrow to a different set of rules. I remember going into a Walmart to pick up 2 gallons of distilled water. How many people use distilled water? Not too many. I went to pick up 2 gallons, and when I got to the cashier, she said, I can only get one in America. Water, distilled water. A young dad was there with his little daughter, man. He was red in the face. He got so mad. He took that bottle from me. He went up there. He said, I want this bottle. He paid for it. He says, here you go. He was upset that you couldn't get 2 gallons of water in Great America. I am saying to God's children, pay attention. Pay attention. We're inching towards the coming of our King. When we see these things, don't become fooled or get too excited or carried away. Just stick with Jesus and you'll be all right. Learned a sad story this week. I suppose it's a fellow Seventh-day Adventist. Was trying to escape all the restrictions in Canada. And so he sold his home. $1 million Canadian. So he has $1 million cash. But he's now a homeless man. Because the country where he was trying to flee to now requires everyone to have a vaccine. So he sold his home already. He has $1 million, but no state to go to spend his million and build his other home. As a matter of fact, in the country where he was going, he was actually already building a near completion. And no, he can't go because he doesn't want the vaccine and he was trying to run there. No, they're requiring him to get one to come. And vaccine or no vaccine, that's not the point or the burden of my sermon. I'm telling you to just pay attention. And this thing resembles, the way they're going about this resembles what we kind of expect about the mark of the beast times. By the way, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Let me put that on record. Yeah, it's not the mark of the beast. Far from it. The mark of the beast is about loyalty to God. That's the seal of God. Disloyalty to God is the mark of the beast. We know it's a Sabbath versus Sunday issue. We know that, right? So let us not be confused. But the time of trouble is coming. And Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah's younger contemporary prophet Daniel says in Daniel 12 verse 1, "At that time, praise be to God, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, praise God, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." Amen. Friends, are you standing up for Michael Jesus now? That's who Michael is. If you stand up for him now, he promises to stand up for you in the judgment. But if you don't stand up for him now, neither will he stand up for you in the judgment. That's more than a deal. The signs of the times are telling the end is near, are everywhere. So what do I say to God's children here today? Look out. Look up. Christ is about to come from heaven the second time. His appearing is near. Now is the time to prepare to meet our God. Now is the time to pay close attention to Christ. Now is the time to grasp the deep meaning of the words, "Behold, thy king cometh." We are living in the time of the end. The end of time is near. I believe that we are drawing nearer to the gates of God. Jesus promised in John 14, 1 to 3, that he was going back to heaven to prepare a place for us. John calls that place New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and verse 2. John writes, Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Paul says in Galatians 4 and verse 26, "But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." Yes, my friends. And here in Matthew chapter 21, we see Christ about to enter old Jerusalem, the one on earth. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of the Galilee.'" Friends, Christ's triumphant entry into earthly Jerusalem was the fulfillment of a prophecy God gave to the prophet Zechariah long ago. we too will join Christ and make a triumphant entry into God's new Jerusalem. Yes and amen. This is a promise and prophecy that will be fulfilled. Now there were and are signs of the times that indicated when the church was getting closer to encounter God directly. In these last days, Christ will finish his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary and to return to earth shortly thereafter. Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit in his latter rain power. The Holy Spirit will give us one final preparation to stand in the time of trouble. The seven last plagues can hit only after Christ finishes his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. We expect the mark of the beast to come soon. It will take the form of a national Sunday law in the United States and will spread globally. Like I said, if you're watching how this COVID-related lockdowns and everything were going, you can see the influence America has in the world. If America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. In the book Last Days Events, page 135, quote, "As America, the land of religious liberty, shall unite with the papacy." Who is the papacy? The Roman Catholic hierarchy. The leadership of the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican City. It says, "As America, the land of religious liberty, shall unite with the papacy in forcing the conscience and compelling men to honor the false Sabbath, the people of every country on the globe will be led to follow her example." End of quote. Just such an attempt was made when a bill or proposal was brought before the United States Congress way back for a vote on December 13, 1888. Did you know that? Senator H.W. Blair of New Hampshire, he brought that bill before Congress. A mere 2 weeks later, our prophet wrote a response to such a godless act in Review and Herald, January 1st, 1889. Quote, "Let not the commandment-keeping people of God be silent at this time, as though we gracefully accepted the situation. There is the prospect before us of waging a continuous war at the risk of imprisonment, of losing property, and even life itself to defend the law of God, which is being made void by the laws of men." End of quote. Question to you is, do you think that now is the time to stand up and be counted for Christ? The King is coming. Our deliverance, our salvation is much nearer than when we first believe. Our salvation has three equally important parts to it. Number one, justification. This is God's deliverance from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The second part is sanctification. This is God's deliverance from the power of sin. So remember, justification, God's deliverance from the penalty of sin. Sanctification, God's deliverance from the power of sin. John 17:17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We're sanctified by the word of God. And there we get the overcomer's power. Through the word of God. And the third part is glorification. This will be God's deliverance from the very presence of sin. Isaiah 25:8-9. You know those verses. "In that day they will say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation because he has delivered us. Christ is coming back to deliver us from the very presence of sin. By his birth, by his life, by his death and resurrection, he justified us. Through his word, he continues to sanctify us. And at his coming, he will glorify us, giving us new bodies to live for all eternity. So when the Bible declares, "Behold, thy king cometh," it means victory. It means deliverance for the sincere and obedient believer. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Amen. Christ is our king. You have a choice whether you will let him come into your hearts and minds. He says in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." So when the Bible says, "Behold, thy king cometh," you ought to let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Amen. Christ will justify you. In Daniel 7, verses 13, 14, and 22, we see the Ancient of Days sit in judgment, and we see Christ coming to the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man. And in verse 22, we see God making a judgment in favor of the saints. Amen. Whoever lets the Ancient of Days in the judgment will find sanctification. God's judgment is in favor of the saints. And Revelation 14:12 describes who a saint is. Revelation 14:12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus." Amen. So when you read in the Bible, "Behold, thy king cometh," let him come into your heart. Whoever allows Christ to enter into their heart and follow him by faith to judgment will live a sanctified life. Now when the Bible says, "Behold, thy king cometh," ultimately that is the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 9:28 says, "He's coming back a second time without sin unto salvation." Titus 2 and verse 11 on to 13 says, "For the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men." To all men. And then it talks about how we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew 24, verse 30 to 36, Christ says he's coming back with great power and glory. And the tribes of the earth will mourn and wail because of him. Those who are not ready will mourn, they'll wail. But those who are in Christ will rejoice. He's coming soon. What is your answer to Jesus? The signs of the times are crying out loud. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Those signs are revealed in the natural world, the social and economic world, and in Bible prophecy itself. As I come on to my conclusion, I want to read what our prophet says in letter 12, written in 1900. Quote, "The world can only be warned by seeing those who believe the truth sanctified through the truth, acting upon high and holy principles, showing in a high, elevated sense the line of demarcation between those who keep the commandments of God and those who trample them under their feet. The sanctification of the Spirit signalizes the difference between those who have the seal of God and those who keep a spurious rest day. When the test comes, it will be clearly shown what the mark of the beast is. It is the keeping of Sunday." End of quote. We are told in Review and Herald, written the 1st of June, 1897, that now is the quote, time to fight when champions are most needed. Will you be a champion for Jesus? Will you be a champion for the Holy Spirit? Will you be a champion for the Father? Behold, thy King cometh. Praise be to God. What a hope. What a hope. We have the great hope. The greatest hope. Christ our King is coming soon. I invite you now to bow your heads with me as we talk to our coming King. Our God and our Father in heaven, our soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ the righteous. We come before you today at the close of our service here, and we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth, for your present truth, your truth for this time. Lord, make our hearts right with you. Bring us into that right, active, covenant-saving relationship with you. And help us, Lord, to turn fully to your righteousness, to turn away from self-centeredness and selfishness, and to turn unto your selfless love, the unmatched charms of your own love, God. Help us to walk with you. Oh, Lord, may your great grace come over us today and convert our hearts and minds anew. Give us new courage, Lord, to stand when champions are few. Help us to be a champion for you. Help us to live the sanctified life by the power of your gospel and grace, by the presence of the Holy Spirit himself. And as we live, help us to teach this truth for this time to others. Oh Lord, make us brave. Make us bold. And help us to go out from today, Lord, to begin to invite people to this upcoming series, September 19th through the 25th. Lord, this may be the very last call, the very last invitation some people are going to get to join up with you, Christ, and to be a part of your kingdom. Help us then to use these opportunities wisely, to use them well, and help us to be ready for your glorious coming, Lord. Oh Lord, please forgive our sins today. Please wash us from every bit of unrighteousness. Make us like you, Jesus. Loving, lovable, truth-filled, spirit-filled, righteous, just, holy. Help us to be obedient to you in all things. And help us to please you in all things. These things we do ask in Jesus' holy name. Let the church say, amen and amen.